There is a new phrase that has surfaced in recent years. You've no doubt heard of the phrase, the bucket list, before. Have you heard of that? Okay. It's a list of things or activities that a person wants to do or see before they kick the bucket, as the saying goes. So, my friends, have you thought of your bucket list? Those things that you want to do in life while you have the ability. Have you thought of that? Things you want to do, things you want to see? Take a moment and try to think of that. Maybe there's something you want to write down on your bulletin, and just something that you think of you want to do as we're sharing. What are some things you want to do in your life? Maybe you want to go to Egypt and see the pyramids before the end happens. That would be an amazing thing. Or if pyramids aren't your thing and you like more modern structures, maybe you want to check out the Taj Mahal at sunset. Where are the places that you want to go in life? What are the things you want to do? Does anyone want to go scuba diving down underwater with all the fish? Does that thrill anybody? Or if water is not your thing and you need a bigger thrill, maybe you're just waiting for a plane that will let you fall right out of it. What do you want to do for your bucket list? Well, I'm not sure. There's so many wonderful things, and you write those down. Write them down, and maybe you can share them later today with your friends and family. I don't know what it is you want to do. Maybe before the end comes, you want to be right there in the stadium when the Yankees win the World Series. I don't know what you want to do, folks. Maybe. Write that one down. That's a good one to have. It's good to have a list of goals, of things you want to do in life. Well, last year, my wife Jeanette and I celebrated our 15-year wedding anniversary. And to celebrate, Jeanette wanted to do the one thing that she had been dreaming of her whole life. So what was her dream? What was on her bucket list? No, it was not going to the Bahamas with me on a trip. Although I'm sure probably many of you will write that down, that you want to, before the end, you want to go to the Bahamas with Pastor Michael. Go ahead and write that down on your list. That wasn't what was on her list, although we did do that. Her dream, her number one thing she wanted to experience was she wanted to swim with a dolphin, which is her favorite animal. So while we were in the Bahamas for this trip, and she'd been dreaming of this her whole life, we got tickets to go to this dolphin experience. And she was on cloud nine. She just was barely able to contain herself. Me? Well, I was along for the ride, kinda. Because the thought of getting into the water, out of my environment, into their environment, with an animal that is really big and can be powerful, was a little unnerving to me. But we went there, and the instructors told us what to do, and then they told us what to avoid and not do. And so we got down in the water. And Jeanette went first, and she was treading water there until the instructor sent the dolphin off to her. And she got her dolphin, and off she went, swimming with the dolphins. Her dream came true. We were swimming with three dolphins that day. And in fact, actually, one of them was actually one of the dolphins from the movie Cocoon that was in that movie. She is now retired and 35 years old and there, and so we got to swim with Cocoon. That was her name. So they told us what to do. They said, when the dolphin comes up to you, pet it on its back, and then they'll swim right next to you. So Jeanette finished with her dream, and she got to go to the side, and then it was my turn. So I got in the water, and I swam away from the dock the whole time saying, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Pretty soon, my dolphin appeared next to me. I started petting her on the side, and off we went. We began to swim. And the instructors had told us beforehand that dolphins are actually a very good judge of character. They can tell people. Sometimes they sense a bond with somebody. They said they have a very good judge of character, which turned out to, in fact, be very true. Because as we were swimming, there were three of us out there swimming, so two other guys were swimming with their dolphins, and wouldn't you know it, before long, those two dolphins left those guys because they wanted to come and swim with me. Just amazing. They started calling me the dolphin whisperer. And when I was younger, I'd always hoped that, you know, when you get older, maybe you'll have a way with the ladies. I just didn't think it was going to be with lady dolphins. So we scratched that event off of Jeanette's bucket list. But did you know this morning that dolphins can actually teach us something about mission? We're in part two of our sermon series on the mission of the church. And if you missed last week's, you can, of course, watch it online. We've got a YouTube channel, or you can visit our website. But this week, we're going to see if we can learn a lesson from a dolphin about mission. Some of you may have seen the movie that came out a few years ago called Dolphin Tale. And last week, we had talked about God's mission involves us going. That was the first part of our sermon series, was going. And so we talked about that. But this week, we're going to see what we can learn from a dolphin. And in this movie, A Dolphin Tale, this is where, and of course, with Jeanette loving dolphins, we of course had to see this movie. But it's a movie about a dolphin that lost its tail. And so the Clearwater Marine Aquarium down there helped this dolphin use a prosthetic tail, never been done before. And we had to see that movie, and of course, we had to see the sequel when it came out too, and it's a true story. And so we watched the second one as well, Dolphin Tale 2, when it came out. And it's actually the second movie that gave me something that I thought, wait a second, that's God's call to mission. Because in the second movie, the people at the aquarium are talking about their mission statement for why they do what they do. And their mission statement is quite simple. It's just three words. Their mission statement is rescue, rehab, and release. I said, that's why they exist. They rescue injured marine animals. And once they have them, they rehab those animals. They help them to strengthen themselves again and to heal. Then lastly, they release them back into the world once healthy. And as I was watching them talk about this, the light bulb just flashed on and I said, that's mission. That's the mission of the church. Rescue, rehab, and release. That's what a church is supposed to do. That is a church's mission. So a church's ministry should fall into one of these categories in order for us to complete our mission. So let's look in the Bible this morning and let's see if, in fact, mission for a church fits with this idea of rescue, rehab, and release. Are we as a church called to rescue? Amen. Amen, we are. At that Clearwater Aquatic Center, they hear about the injured animals, and so they go and they rescue them from the world. Our job as a church is to go, amen, and to rescue injured people from this world. We studied last week about this. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He said, go. Going to rescue others is why we exist as a church, amen? So some of our ministries must fit into this category of rescue, rescuing people from this world. And friends, it involves a lot of ministries. It involves Bible studies, teaching, and evangelism, but not just those ministries. It involves the ministries that meet the needs of people. It involves having a worship service. And the worship is more than just when the pastor talks. It's everybody using their skills. It involves the ministries that bring connections. But rescuing always involves an aspect of going. Of going to others. Friends, we should not, we cannot, we must not wait for the injured to walk in our doors here. We cannot do that. And that's why we do ministries like Vacation Bible School, and we give people a place to come. That's why we do Light Up the Dark in the fall, to reach out to others. That's why we do the Journey to Bethlehem in December, as a way to give people a chance to hear the good news. And it's also why this coming September, we're going to team up. This church is going to team up with all the other Adventist churches here in Lincoln. And we're going to put on a program called God in Shoes, which is all about going to where the people are, meeting their needs, and getting connected with them. That's coming up in September, and you will hear more about that in the future. But it's an amazing ministry where we can go where the people are. God's mission for Piedmont Park is to go and rescue. But that's not all. For the Aquatic Center also has a part of their mission is to not just rescue them, but to rehab them once they have the animal there. They help the animal heal and strengthen. Well, my friends, do people get injured out in this world? Without a doubt. We can't expect to rescue perfectly whole and healthy people. That's not how it works. People have real needs when they connect with a church. They have emotional needs, financial needs, social needs. And Jesus believed in meeting the needs of people. If you've got your Bibles with you, let's open them up and look at what Jesus did when it came to ministry. So you've turned with me to Luke chapter 7. Turn there if you've got a turning version of the Bible. And if your version of the Bible is not a turning one, but a clicking one, go ahead and click there. And let's look at Luke chapter 7. This was when John the Baptist was concerned, wondering if Jesus was going to be the Messiah or was there someone else they were to suspect to come. And so John's disciples come and ask Jesus. And this is his response about whether or not he was the Messiah. Luke chapter 7, verse 22 says, Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus' ministry and his mission involved rehab. It involved helping people, meeting their needs. Do our ministries here meet the real life needs of rehabbing hurting people? Friends, I believe they do. Now, of course, we don't replace doctors or train counselors, but can we help people here? Amen, we can. Let's go to another section of the Bible. If you turn with me to Titus chapter 3, I'll give you a second to find Titus. Okay, are you there? Titus is one of those books in the Bible that hides a little bit. It's right after 2 Timothy. But Titus talks about people's needs. I'll put it up here on the screen for you in case you're still flipping. But it's a great book. Titus chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." As a church, the Bible calls us to meet the needs of people. The Apostle John believed in this as well, and in his first letter he says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In verse 17, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" In verse 13, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." This is why we need ministries that will help people to rehab. That's why we have ministries like our Better Day Ministry, which helps people who are hurting financially. This is why so many of you are part of our hospitality and fellowship meal team, to help people connect when they're here. That's why we have the Celebrate Recovery Ministry that Jason Williams and Pastor Andy and so many others have worked on these last few months. A ministry to help people work through the pains of living in this world. That's why we have the education ministry at College View Academy and here in our Sabbath schools to teach and to train people how to succeed in life and how to live for God. Even now we're planning, we're dreaming about the future and when the building is built and what we can do with that and how we can have some Bible reading groups that meet on Wednesday nights and just give people a chance to come together and to talk and to share, to connect with God and others. We have our health ministries that's working to help people live healthier lives, and that's why I'm so thrilled that Misty is giving everybody an opportunity to not just give money at church, but give your blood too. We believe in real giving here at Piedmont. Amen? So thank you for everyone who will come and help with that ministry, and thank you, Misty, for putting that together. We're going to have a new stewardship team that's going to start. It's going to work on helping all of us to learn how to be faithful to God in all aspects of our lives and how to have that joyful, abundant life that Jesus spoke about. Folks, sometimes a church, and I'm guilty of this too, sometimes we can focus so much on going and rescuing people that we forget that we're supposed to help them once we catch them. Now, sometimes we can bring in so many new people, but there's others that are heading out the back door as quickly as we bring in new. That's why part of our mission has to be rehab. It has to be. We have to focus on helping people connect and give them the tools that are needed to live healthy and joyful lives. But the mission of the church is to rescue. It's to rehab, but then one more component there that we learned from the dolphin's tail, the last component is to release. The aquatic center, their job, and they wrestle with this in the second movie, is releasing a healthy dolphin back into the wild. And they weren't sure if they wanted to. So you might say, wait a second now, Pastor. Hold on. Are we supposed to release people back into the world? Isn't our job supposed to hold on to people as a church and not let them go? Well, my friends, if we have to hold on to people, then Christ never had them in the first place. Amen? The release part of our mission is to complete the circle. Because God does not rescue us and save people so that we can all hunker down inside our four walls and just wait for the second coming to happen. That's not why God saves us. Jesus calls us to be the salt of the world in Matthew 5, verse 13. And salt by itself is kind of nasty, isn't it? Salt is only useful and it's only tasty when it connects with something else. Friends, each of us who have come to know Christ and come to accept Him as our Savior, we were rescued by Christ because someone else at some point in time was used by Jesus in ministry to help us. And then Christ used someone else. He used their other people's ministries to rehab us and to help us. And that process is still going on, amen, for all of us. And finally, Christ says, now it's your turn. It's your turn. It's time for you to go and to rescue. It's time for you to rehab others. That's why we work so hard at this church to train our young people. And you see them as a part of ministry. It's why we train our student pastors that we have here and train our young adults. Tony, I'm going to tell you what the pastor told me when I was baptized all those years ago. In the middle of his sermon, he stopped. He said, Michael, it's not over for you. In my head, I said, yeah, it is. I got baptized. I'm done. I just get to sit down now and enjoy. The pastor said, it's not over for you. So I tell you the same thing, Tony. It's not over for you. God has plans for you and for each of us in ministry. Part of our mission is to train and equip members to do ministry in the world. Peter described it this way in 1 Peter. So if you turn with me there, our last text for today, 1 Peter, our scripture reading, 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 10. That's our job. To do ministry. So 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift. That's each one. It doesn't say, as a few of you have gotten gifts. It says, each one in the church has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The reason we do ministry is not for our glory, but it's for God's. As each one has received, use it to help others. That, my friends, is our mission. To rescue, to rehab, and then to release. My friends, I hope you have your bucket list. I hope you have those things in life that you want to do, that you want to experience. I hope someone's car is not getting broken into. I hope a lot of things while I'm preaching. But I do hope that we will think about what we can do here in our mission to rescue, to rehab, and to release. But folks, I'd like to encourage all of you, if you've got that list figured out, and maybe for some of you, the bucket list is a long ways away, that's okay. But think about those things you want to do. And if you have, maybe you've got your list of things you want to do, I'd like to encourage all of us to add one more item to our list. One more thing I'd like to encourage you to think about being a part of in your life before the end. Could you write down on your list, help someone else know Jesus? Could you do that, my friends? And I invite you to spend some time praying. Listen to Jesus as you think about ministry. For right now, our nominating committee is functioning this quarter, and they're working on finding members for our ministries. So they're going to be calling you. Is the Lord calling you to a ministry of rescue, of going out and finding others? Or have you been called to the ministry of rehab, helping others to heal and to connect? Or is God wanting to release you to go back out so that you can connect as salt and continue the circle and rescue someone else? I'm glad, friends, that there's a Clearwater Aquatic Center that works so hard to rescue hurting animals. But it's not just animals that are hurting in this world. It's not just dolphins that are needing rehabbing. It's people too. And I'm honored that our God calls us to mission, to the ministry of rescue, to the ministry of rehab, and to the ministry of release. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, each of us here hear the siren beeping. And Lord, this world has sirens going off all the time. There's emergencies every moment around this world. There are hurting people. And you've called us. You've called us from the world, but not just to sit in a bunker and to just wait for you to get here. Lord, you've called us to mission. You've called us to make a difference in someone else's life like someone once made a difference in ours. So each person here, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, may we each think about what you're calling us to do. Because there's something that we can do for you, Lord, that no one else can do. There's a person out there who will listen just to us. There's a person out there who's just waiting for our ministry to bloom and to grow and mature. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that this church will be a church full of grace, that this church will be a church full of your love, that this church will go forth to rescue, to rehab, and to release until you come again to take us home. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us. Now may we go, and with your help, with your grace and your power, bring someone else to you so they can be rescued too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.